again to consider the annual report of the National Development Agency this morning for the 2012-2013 financial year, and then also adopt some outstanding minutes of all members. So without wasting any more time, I'll ask the committee secretary if there's any apologies.
Yes, Chair, there are a couple of apologies. One is from Honorable Tome, who is on sick leave. One is from Honorable More. She has a doctor's appointment. And another one is from Honorable Bula. He left some documentation and realized them while he was at the airport and had to go back. And he will only arrive here at 1 o'clock. I think Honorable Makoba will join us later on, 10:30. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Committee Secretary. Usually when people say that you are sick, you need to live a very long life. We're going to consider the annual report of the National Development and without wasting any more time, I don't know whether the Honourable Deputy Minister would like to say something now or at the end of the presentation, and then I'll throw it to the DG and the Chairperson of the Board, the Chairman of the Board. I'm so used to being gender neutral in my approach when I say Chairperson and not Chairman. So please, what do you think of that?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Portfolio Committee, Director General, Mr. Kokleko Phakade, Chairperson of the Board, Mr. Mkekane, and other board members of the NDA, Acting CEO and members of the Executive of the NDA, all officials that are present here, and all stakeholders present here. Good morning. Di Masheroni, Lochan, Huyemore, Sangonan, Dumelang, Abshen, Molwen. Oh, you know all the official language. Let me greet you all this morning in the wonderful name of my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I bring warm and heartily greetings from the Minister of Social Development, Ms. Batabile Dlamini, who is not able to join us today. She is at Makwasi in the Northwest at a gathering of older persons. The NDA is a very important agency of the department. The work of the NDA is important and quite humbling, as I see it as key towards breaking the cycle of multi-generational poverty. I am very pleased with the performance of the NDA thus far. With all its challenges, it continues to strive towards delivering on its mandate. When we support communities and enable them to do it for themselves, we are ensuring the sustainability of the social security system. Through the many creative programs that the NDA has developed, I am particularly excited about the Adopt an ECD campaign and their success in being able to raise funds for capacity building. I will leave that to the representatives of the board and the officials to elaborate further. I am confident that through the work of the NDA and the linkages with many other programs of government, our people will slowly begin to reap the fruits of our democracy. I wish to express my gratitude to the board and the executive of the NDA for ensuring that our policies make a meaningful contribution to the lives of all our people. We can only achieve more if we work in unity. Let us continue to work together in making South Africa a better place for all. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll give over to the board or the chair.
Now, over to the chairman of the board.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, to the Deputy Minister from Social Development, our Director General. From Social Development, I'm here accompanied by the executive team. I would also wish to convey an apology from our chief executive officer who has taken ill. So we are in the good hands of Mr. Mohan. We would like to take this opportunity to thank the committee for giving us the opportunity to report back and also highlight some of the issues and how we have responded to the comments that the committee had made in the past in terms of the improvements that the board and management must undertake. I will just make a few introductory remarks and then I will then hand over to Mr. Mohan to take you through the presentation. I think it suffice to say that in the past we have noticed a trend of decreasing allocation, budgetary allocation, by the National Treasury, as it is happening to many other departments and programs as a result of our general fiscal situation following the global financial crisis. I think each and every department and every program is hard pressed now with decreasing resources. The NDA is no exception. As a result of which, we had said in the past that we will want to continue making sure that the scale of the NDA is not restricted by how much you received from the department, and so would embrace a strategic thrust that begins to make sure that the NDA is a resource not only based on the grants we get, but also as a result of the partnerships and working with other people out there. So that was the big message when we assumed our position at this board that we gave to you when we were appointed in 2011. I'm pleased to say that we set 9 strategic priorities which the APP or the Annual Performance Plan, the annual report will talk to, and Mr. Mohana will expand on this, but briefly to mention that we have an early childhood development program. One of the things that we've implemented, as the Deputy Minister has highlighted, is the launch of the Early Childhood Development Campaign, which is called Adopt an ECD Campaign, which is aimed at members of the public, corporate and non-corporate, private and public, adopting ECDs in poor communities to ensure that we can increase the number of children who get access to early childhood from the current just about 50-odd% that we have. So that is again where we're tapping into resources beyond government to outside. The other campaign that we will continue to launch is the food security campaign. Again, there is about mobilizing private sector to give offtake agreements so that our food security campaign programs are sustainable. A number of those programs are starting to show fruit. The other issue has been the conversion of our provincial offices into advisory centers, so that they become a resource to community or civil society organizations and NGOs. So people can come in, we can assist them with drafting business plans, application for funding, and so forth. And that is beginning to show fruit as we're giving access to a number of CSOs that would otherwise not get this kind of access to internet and so forth. And then in terms of increasing our funding, we have implemented the program management unit. We did mention this in our previous report. It is in the annual report as well. And this year, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, close to 50% of the funding we have doesn't come from government. in terms of the funding window that were traditionally funded. Almost 80 million rand comes from other parties, and that has added tremendously to the 166 million rand that we have received. So we anticipate with this campaign that the money will grow. We are envisaging a situation where on a one-to-one basis, almost 100% of what we get from government, a similar amount will be raised from third parties. And this PME is hard at work, closing deals, talking to people to make sure that private sector, public sector, they come to the party to work with the NDA so that we're not just a resource based on what we have. So we're quite pleased with that particular approach. And then we have the capacity building program. In the past, our capacity building program only focused on our grantees or our grant recipients. But we realized there's so much knowledge over the last more than 12 years that has been gathered that we can leverage our knowledge of working with poor communities to also assist in strengthening capacity of other programs beyond what we fund. And so we have a capacity building program that we have implemented. This is now talks about organizational strengthening of NGOs or CSOs, making sure that they are sustainable, making sure that they are strong, they respond to the agenda of development in a much more impactful way. And that program is underway, and you will begin to see where we, for example, work with the Department of Social Development to say, you are funding so many NPOs. How do we work with them based on our experience to strengthen their capacity? That, again, makes sure that we're a resource beyond just what we have. Very important is around communication and partnership strategies. Our brand, you know, I think it's very important that we continue to show it up. I must say that the NDA now, as compared to when you know, some of us joined the board, has been a brand that is well received in the market, and we do have you know, feedback that we're getting from different parties. And again, around partnerships, for example, one of the things that we have initiated is talking to, and that will also be in the annual, in our annual report, is, for example, how do we work with the National Planning Commission to make sure that we can influence the development practice in terms of how people implement programs. That links also with the capacity building program, and that is work that Mr. Mukhana will report. Quite importantly, as a state institution, it's important that we are, from a governance point of view, that we don't have repeated audit findings, we don't have you know, an increasing trend of poor management of our finances, you will see that we have a clean, unqualified audit with no emphasis of matter. So that is quite a remarkable improvement from where we've come in the past. Of course, there are still areas that we still need to address that are in the annual report. But I think there has been a tremendous and remarkable improvement from where we were. Systems is another issue that we would need to continue to invest in to make sure that the experience of a CSO in Mpumalanga is the same as an experience of a CSO in Limpopo or in the Northern Cape. And so implementation of systems based on our approved policies and procedures is important so that we professionalize you know, development you know, in a way. And then, of course, website and internet to make sure that we're a portal. We are in the 21st century. You know, information is very important. That people today are carrying tablets, using mobile phones, mobile technology, making sure we can load things like this, how to write a proposal to the jobs fund, you know, and make sure that, you know, NGOs can benefit from that. So that is overall what we have done, Chairperson, in terms of shifting the organization from being inward focused to being more outward focused and working with third parties. I will now hand over to Mr. Mukhana to talk the specific detail from a financial reporting point of view. With your permission. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, Deputy Ministers, Deputy Minister DG, and colleagues. I am going to speak to the report in respect of delivery against strategic objectives. Chairperson, by and large, the NDA has achieved the majority of the targets set for the year. And just by way of recapping, you will recall, Chairperson, that when we presented our strategic plan last year, we emphasized that the NDA only has one goal, and that goal has to do with the eradication of poverty in poor communities. Rephrasing, the goal is to leverage strategic partnerships to eradicate poverty to enable poor communities to achieve sustainable livelihoods. And under the Chairperson, we have five strategic objectives. The first strategic objective is to carry out programs or projects aimed at meeting the development needs of the poor. This is derived directly from our legislative mandate. The NDA Act makes a distinction between a primary and secondary mandate. The primary mandate is that of carrying out programs or projects aimed at meeting the development needs of the poor, and the second, and also strengthening the institutional capacity of civil society organizations. The secondary mandate is about undertaking research and publications aimed at providing the basis for development policy and promoting debate, dialogue, and sharing of development experiences. So these are the strategic objectives, Chairperson, five of them are derived directly from the mandate. So I am going to be speaking directly to the strategic objectives as outlined in the annual report. The first strategic objective, as we have said, Chairperson, is to carry out programs or projects aimed at meeting the development needs of poor communities. How have we performed with regard to that? The first thing that we did, Chairperson, was to consolidate our programming in the three sectoral areas that we have. And the areas are early childhood development, food security, and income generation. And I am going to elaborate on what is it in early childhood development, food security, and income generation that we are supporting. Just building on what the Chairperson has been saying, Chairperson, ECD has become a big issue in the country. It is big because the NDP says that 43% of our children do not access ECD. And therefore, as the NDA Chairperson, you recall that we prioritize this area of ECD. So in the year under review, the NDA was able to commit 6.6 million to ECD programs against a target of 22.4 million. What that represents, Chairperson, is just not the quantitative figure. This is about the improvements that we have made in poorest communities in terms of access to quality early childhood development. You may have seen, Chairperson, during your oversight visit in various provinces, that the NDA is rolling out mobile ECD centers that are intended to access informal settlements, farming communities, and other poorest areas within the country. We have, with the limited budget and in partnership with other stakeholders, been able to support a number of ECD initiatives throughout the country. I know that members of parliament travel regularly, and you would have seen features and supplements in Sawona magazine. I was surprised too when I picked up the Sawona magazine and noticed that there was an NDA funded project which is now regarded as a flagship in the country around mobile ECD. It's called Tepang Mobile ECD in the Free State. And we've adopted that model throughout the country, and we will have one mobile ECD site in the country. I'm sharing this information, Chairperson, just to amplify the strategic shift that the NDA has taken over the past few years around this important area of ECD. We have also supported income generation programs, and in this area we committed 30.2 million. Chairperson, once again, I'm pleased to report that more than ever before, we are convinced that the income generation projects that we fund have the potential to create income streams for poor households and employment for many people, particularly young persons, women, and the youth. And I know for a fact that during your oversight visit in Gauteng, you were able to go to some of these income generating projects. Modest projects, but we believe that over time they will graduate to become sustainable commercial enterprises. Chairperson, it's not only about what we have committed in terms of ECD. It's not only about looking at the infrastructure aspect of ECD. We also believe, Chairperson, that it's quite critical to make sure that there is food security and quality nutrition at ECD sites. So to that extent, Chairperson, we were able to fund 153 food gardens against a target of 129. And the reason why we are doing this, Chairperson, is that we acknowledge that it's one thing to go to a site which has some reasonable infrastructure, and in many cases they don't. But it's one thing to have children spending the whole day there hungry, because if they are, we are not going to be in a position to stimulate them emotionally and cognitively. So we are quite mindful of that fact. So we have almost adopted the slogan that says one ECD site, one food garden. And that is important for us because we need to take care of the nutritional aspect of our children. We have exceeded, Chairperson, our targets in terms of beneficiaries for the sectors that I've referred to, which are food security, income generation, and food security. But there were slight deviations. And the deviations, Chairperson, related mainly to the issue, to the amount committed to food security. I said we committed 18.7 million against the target of 22.4. This is not an underachievement per se, Chairperson, because we were able to meet our food security target with the reduced funding that we had. In other words, if we were targeting so many beneficiaries, we were able to achieve the target of the beneficiaries with less money. That is efficient in other ways. The target that we did not reach has to do with the training of ECD practitioners. We had planned to train 774 ECD practitioners. We were able to train 667 ECD practitioners. And although the training of the practitioners is currently underway, at the time of reporting, which is the 31st of March, some modules and qualifications were not completed at the time. It's not that the training had not started. The training was full underway, but at the time, all the requirements that would lead to a qualification were not fully met. We had planned, Chairperson, to have 70% of women as beneficiaries. We were able to achieve a target of 16.5%. And this underachievement really has to do with the fact that most of our uptake has been on the youth, particularly in food security and income generation. Because as soon as you go to the youth, you will realize, Chairperson, that the percentage is quite high. Similarly, with people with disabilities, we had set ourselves a target of 10%. In most of the official documents, the norm is around 2%. We believe that we should strive for higher intake of people with disabilities. But in this instance, we achieved a target of 1.2%. And this is an area that we believe in terms of targeting, we need to be much more realistic about. The last one is jobs. We intended to achieve 1,686 jobs. We achieved 906 jobs.
And the reason for this chairperson has to do with the fact that you are aware that there is a debate in the country around what is the living wage, how much can you pay people who are involved in income generation projects and so on. Historically, our standard was 800 rands, and we decided to review that to 1,200 rand to bring it in line with other people who operate in the same space that we are. We know now that the expanded public works program pays a little more than that. But the reason why we were able to realize fewer jobs is because we decided, rather than have many, increase the quality of the jobs that you have by paying a reasonable stipend. And when I say stipend, I'm talking about the minimum. Most of these income generating programs that we are talking about are able to pay far higher than the 1,200 that I'm talking about, Charles. The second objective, very quickly, is undertaking research and publications aimed at providing the basis for development policy. This comes from what I referred to earlier as the secondary mandate. And the idea there, really, Chairperson, is to make sure that the NDA is able to influence dialogue, policy, around issues that relate to poverty. In this particular instance, Chairperson, the first thing that we did was to set ourselves a research agenda. In other words, what is it that the NDA must be investigating over a period of time with the assistance and guidance of a think tank, which is a group of people who are eminently qualified to guide us and comment on strategic issues affecting the country. And of course, we have set up the think tank, which consists of credible persons, eminent persons in society, who are able to comment on these issues that we are talking about, food security, income generation, and ECD. Over and above that, because we fund programs and projects, there is a need to evaluate those programs and projects. And we exceeded targets in terms of the evaluations that were conducted. We have compiled case studies to a person of best practice for purposes of knowledge sharing around these programs that we support. And we have also produced research reports in the areas of our programs. I am skimming through this chairperson because these are included in your slides, but I'm just emphasizing the fact that the reason why we have a research directly within the agencies to make sure that, one, we are able to influence policy, two, is that we are able to distill best practice amongst and within the projects that we fund, three, we are able to share and disseminate information, and four, that we build a base, a repository for knowledge management throughout the country. So these things that are on your slide, Chairperson, are the things that are critical for us in that particular area. We also believe moving forward that we will have to put together the how-to materials that will support our projects and projects that are funded by other people. There were a few deviations, Chairperson. Instead of achieving 58 baseline reports, we were able to achieve 38. And the reason being that there were fewer projects that required baseline reports. Most of the projects were closed. We were intending to do 127 midterm evaluations, and we did 47 because most were closed. We have not established an online resource center as we had intended, and we have delayed that because we are doing large-scale organization-wide reconfiguration of our IT system, and we will have the online resource center operating as soon as that is done. The issue of journal articles, we are still working on those and will produce, and we've also contributed to the South Kent MDG report teaching. We are going to, pardon the spelling there, we are going to devote substantial resources to the area of CSO capacity strengthening. And as the chair reported, we started this last year, and in the year under review, we were able to capacitate or strengthen the capacity of 223 CSOs. These CSOs were able to impact on 3,831 beneficiaries. We were able to put together aside a small amount of 4.4 million for capacity building of advocacy and lobbying organizations. And these are organizations mainly focusing in the area of lobbying for an enabling environment for CSOs, network organizations, and those organizations that focus on gender-based violence. There was a big deviation around the demonstration of NGOs. There was a big deviation around NGOs demonstrating improved implementation. And this is a timely issue, Chairperson, because as of the 31st of March, we had already been working with these NGOs for 6 months or so. But we know that in terms of capacity building is not only training, it's also incubation, mentoring, and aftercare support, and that it is difficult within 6 months to come to a conclusion that there is indeed demonstrable improvement in implementation that would have to be realized over time. The fourth objective is internal, and this is about promoting and maintaining organizational excellence and sustainability. And here, Chairperson, just very briefly, we had set ourselves a vacancy rate of 5%. We are sitting at 2.26%, or we were sitting at 2.26% at the end of the financial year. The staff turnover in critical skills areas, we had set ourselves a target of 8%, and it's 1.75 in terms of turnover. And what that is telling you is that the retention within the agency is quite high. And I think that's something that is adding value to the organization. We had planned to train 70% of the staff, and indeed 70% of the staff were trained. And in terms of performance, we had set ourselves a target of 95% for all the staff in terms of their performance contracts. And at the end of the financial year, auditable evidence is that 96.1% of the staff had achieved performance rating of 3% and above. The last one, Chairperson, it's about maintaining organizational excellence in relation to visibility of the NDA. As the Chairperson reported, we have really get up in terms of resource mobilization, and that resource mobilization is demonstrated in the 80.5 million that we reported on in terms of third-party resources. We were able to organize 9 CSO provincial central forums to talk about policy and issues relating to poverty. 1 national CSO sector forum, which also involved bringing CSOs across the country to share development experiences, enabling environment funding and other matters. And of course, we had profile events. Chairperson, I'm not going to go into the other detail, which is quite self-explanatory. I am going to stop here, Chairperson, and ask the CFO to conclude with the financial report.
Thank you, Chairperson, members, Deputy Minister. The NDA in the year under review worked off a revenue base of 190 million. total contract signed at the year end are actually 80 million. So the trend is continuing in the current financial year. We've already exceeded the half-year target on funds mobilized from third parties, which is a very, very exciting development from a financial sustainability point of view. So the total revenue of 190 million was utilized as follows. 116.5 million of that was spent for what we call managed expenses. This category is made up of direct project funding and direct project support costs. Evidently, this category has increased by close to 20% as compared to last year in terms of investment, direct investment into this project. 80 million point one was spent on administrative related costs, which include staff costs and operating costs. And this category, comparatively speaking, grew by 16% compared to last year, which is a good development to start seeing that investment into direct project funding is growing at a much higher rate as compared to money expense in support costs. So this is a high level picture, Chairperson, on the financial front. In the income statement, if I go to the following slide, the income slide is really providing a bit of flesh in terms of the breakdown of the revenue. As I've just said, I won't go into it. It shows that actually in more detail. The other development from a financial management point of view is that historically we have had a challenge in our supply chain management unit. We have managed to reduce the number of findings in this area in the period under reporting through rigorously managing this area, which has had some problems before. As part of strengthening this area, we have reviewed the structure and created a more professionalized outfit with the manager in this area, which we are finalizing appointment. And we're excited about this aspect. Furthermore, we have also, as reported earlier on by the chairman in his overview, managed to reduce the number of audit findings overall compared to the previous year. However, we still having challenges in areas as outlined in the audit report, which relate largely to underfunding of the agency. Secondly, compliance culture in terms of supply chain, and thirdly, in the area of systems development. The challenge on supply chain management and how we're addressing it, regard to the funding difficulties we've been facing, I've also alluded to the chairman has also reported that the PMU has started to show positive signs of its promised mandate. As I've noticed that there is, I've already reported that there is a marked increase in the funds mobilized. The stagnant challenge that we seem to be still grappling with is the systems aspect, Chair, which we are busy resolving internally through a joint project piggybacking on SASA, Oracle system as a way of trying to leverage on their investment without expending new money into the capex of the system, as we have pressures on the funding. However, this is a project we are just starting this year, and hopefully in the current financial year would have gone significantly in addressing. Over and above that, Chair, we are improving the control measures in terms of financial management based on increased self-control checklists and manual procedures. I will stop there, Jefferson, in terms of the high-level financial management, if you may allow.
I think, Chair, just to end, one of the big questions that has always faced the organization has been the percentage of mandate cost to operating overheads. That in the past, I think we've seen a ratio of 65 to 35. It's come down now to, I think, the target of 55, 45 to 51, 49. But as we get more and more third-party funding and keep our operating overheads constant, we begin to see that the ratio of mandate cost to operating overhead improve to a target which we are setting ourselves in the future of at least 75, 25, and so forth. But that is still something that we are focusing on just to make sure that we do that. Now, some of the funds won't come into the NDA to be where we manage and charge fees. And so, you know, the how those monies work themselves into the income statement may not necessarily show immediate improvement, but we are quite comforted by the fact that the NDA is becoming a resource more for the country rather than just depending on what we have. Chairperson, if you will allow us, I think we'd like to pause there and hand over back to you.
Now, thank you very much, Mr. Kane, for that, and also Mr. Mahomo and the CFO for the presentation, and also for the Deputy Minister for the opening remarks in eliciting the term for the presentation. Can I just get an indication from members who would like to ask questions? Can I just get a sort of note the members who want to ask questions? No one at this stage, okay, fine. Honourable members, I've got a few questions. The first question is in terms of the targets, you've the objectives, your achievements, you've overachieved on most of your, if I look at your fund your strategic objective one, let's just take strategic objective one. R71.1 million value dispersed against a target of R42 million, which includes obviously disbursements to projects approved in the previous years, right? Was that money rolled over? So is that why it had an influence on the overachievement of the target? Could you please tell me that? And also the R10.8 million value investment in ESG infrastructure against a target of R6.3 million. So it goes on. The beneficiaries of 4,122 against a target of 3,850. Why didn't you review your targets mid-year and adjust it accordingly? Because it's a major overachievement of your targets. So you can get excited about it, but I tend not to get excited about the overachievement of targets, because it also tells me there is a problem in terms of planning. So why didn't you go for a review of your strategic plan and your operational plan, when most of your strategic objectives have been overachieved? What impact does it have on your budget, or did you budget for it anyway without reflecting it? Then the other matter that I want to raise is the issue on page 85 of the annual report. If you go to employment statements, could you explain to me the figures there? And at the bottom of the page, you have top management vacancy issues for 2012-2013, that's the year in the review. There was one vacancy, but you said a percentage is 11%. Senior management, number of employees is 23, approved post is 20, so the vacancy is 2. Can you explain that to me? And professional qualified, okay, that's fine. Skilled, could you explain that figure to me also? I don't understand. I don't know whether my understanding and your understanding of the percentages, and if it's in your data in the annual report, can you please reflect on that? Can I just stop there? I'll give over to the honourable members, the watchers. Can I just get another indication? Is there other members who'd like to ask questions? No, on the board.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I just have some queries with regards to the financial statements. When one compares the figures we were given last year as opposed to this year, and I understand maybe the Auditor General wants things done differently, but if, like last year, it was actually in the annual report, it was stipulated a lot clearer than this year's annual report. For example, when you looked at the salary, the total salary costs for the members of the NDA, we were told last year was $64.8 million. This year we're told it's, according to this sheet, it's $46.6 million. That means you had a reduction of R20 million for salary costs. Can you explain that huge decrease, or have you hidden other salary costs elsewhere in the sheets that you presented to us? Your sheets aren't numbered, so I can't refer you to it, but it's just like it's
settlement. So can you explain why there's been a decrease from 64.8 million to 46.6 million in salary costs overall? Then last year you stated in the annual report that 43.8 million rand was spent on goods and services. This year I don't see that particular item stipulated, so can you please guide me as to where I would find that particular figure, how one would add that up to see if there's been an increase or a decrease. Also last year you stipulated that there was a 3.2 million rand spent on capital, payment for capital assets, if you can also guide me to where that is. And then what I am pleased to see, Chair, is that from if you look at last year's figure on projects, on actual projects, 59.7 million rand was spent on projects, and this year, we, according to this documentation, we've been told that it's increased to 71.6 million. So I'm very pleased to see that. But of course, I hope there's no salary costs or any other costs buried in that 71 million. Then just two more questions on the board fees. We see that there's an increase from just under 300,000 rand to over 600,000 rand in this year. So that's a doubling of the board fees. Can you explain why that is, please? And then on consultation and professional fees, we see an increase from 2.1 million to over 6 million. Can you explain why that is, please, as well? Thank you. Was I clear enough on the questions?
Any other questions? Okay, can you...
All right. I think I would like to ask management and then I'll add to their responses. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members, for the questions. I think I will respond to the issue of titles. Yes, Chairperson, it is indeed commendable that we have overachieved in terms of the targets, and that in some instances it may be that we had under-targeted. We take that observation. But Chairperson, we also...
I didn't commend you for that.
Yes, no, I'm getting to that. Chairperson, the reason why there was an overachievement on the target is that when at the time of planning, we had planned on the money that we had as the agents, but we indicated, Chairperson, that we had mobilized substantially third-party resources. So the third-party resources combined with the resources that we had at our proposal were able to stretch the rent in that way. There is a case to be made for a review of the titles, to have stretched titles, and that is something that we'll definitely take into account as we move forward in other planning processes. I think that was the overall comment on the titles, because the chair referred to the targets in the infrastructure and the impact on the budget. We would like to ask the CFO, Chairperson Mr. Zwane, to respond to the issues on financial management, salary costs, goods and services, capital costs. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. The member asked about the decrease in salary costs by about 20 million, and the reason is because we sat down with the Auditor General in the Audit Committee. We did that when we took a shift that the chairman spoke about of review of our infrastructure costs at provincial level. And in doing that, we then did a further analysis to say which of the staff members that we employ are 100% deployed in direct project work. In other words, who are not office administrators. We then agreed that we will take the salaries of those employees who are development managers who spend 99.9% of their time in the field, in the projects, consulting, doing M&E, and we then agreed that those salaries are actually by definition not administrative. We then agreed to reallocate them and classify them under direct project costs, which are mandate expense categories. And that way you see note number 9, where those were reclassified into the mandate expenditure category. But this exercise was not just looking at staff only. It was looking at the entire infrastructure at provincial level. And that is where also some of the CAPEX was spent when we were operationalizing the advisory centers, buying furniture and equipment for those. So that is actually explaining that shift. With regard to the area of goods and services, if we look at the way we've grouped the expenses in this annual report, goods and services is actually in the administrative category. If we remove staff costs as well as board costs, the remainder is related to goods and services procured. I agree that the grouping this year was to give more substance to the detailed cost drivers as opposed to the economy classification, but you can actually compare them line by line. For example, there has been a substantial increase in audit fees from 900 to 1.4 million this year, reason being that the AG has placed more emphasis on performance auditing, which as well as dashboard reviews. The increase in board costs were actually largely because of the extra board committee that was not operational, which was meant really to strengthen board oversight in terms of the duties of the board. We also added two members as well in the board, in the audit committee, to strengthen the audit committee with extra skill and a requirement for an external member. Over and above that, we also the board also spent a lot of time assisting management in shifting, in the planning cycle, in shifting the strategy, as the chairman has indicated, of the NDA from an inward focus to an external focus. The 9 priority areas that the chairman reported on in his overview were as a result of that board guidance, which the board provided in those intensive planning meetings. But the point must be made that this board has drastically reduced the board costs compared to the previous 3 years. We know that board fees were in the region of is cost down, and we are pleased that we are actually spending far less in board fees than we traditionally used to spend. There was a question as well on consultation and professional fees. They increased from 2 million last year to 6 million this year. The main plus of the of this cost here were the big ticket items that we were actually once off in nature this year. One of them was the forensic audit cost, which we undertook to review our supply chain management, which cost about 1.2 million. The second big ticket item as well was the legal costs that increased sharply due to a few matters that went to appeals after appeals, which we had no control over really at the instance of the moment, which escalated some of the costs. The others were the review of the structure that the board undertook to align NTA structure to its new strategy, which we undertook using the University of Pretoria. It was about 1.5 million. The other big ticket item, as far as my memory says me, was also to do with the project audit that we had undertaken to have a look at the project, historical project base that we had. So most of these are once off. We don't expect them to. Oh, one of them was also the ICT governance review that the board undertook through the audit committee. It cost a few hundred thousand, about 300,000, which was assisting us in terms of preparing us to go into the new ICT environment, which we then put on hold due to budgetary constraints, which we are now using as a phase one with the discussions that I indicated earlier that we are undertaking with SASA in terms of modernizing our ICT infrastructure and technology. So we don't expect Jefferson to have this trend in the new year. As I mentioned, most of these were once off necessary cost.
Let's just say, in terms of the vacancies that you asked about, we have replaced all of them. On the top management was in relation to the company secretary, which we've since replaced. There was one provincial post that was vacant, which we've also since replaced, and also head of research, which we've since appointed. And, so we have filled all the vacancies. These are vacancies that were filled, you know, after year end. But just to say also on board fees, we do follow the guidelines that we get from National Treasury. So, you know, there has been an increase, but that's what is prescribed by law, so that's what it is.
Just one question on clarity. With regards to the 46 million for staff costs, how many of the 118 members or staff members fall under that category? Is it all 118 that you mentioned on page 88 of the annual report? Or is it what amounts to this? Just explain.
Okay. 189. So these are people that you could, Honorable Borders, you could outsource them to a third party to do that function. So they actually don't render any services for the organization. 100% of their time is occupied doing what traditional CSOs would do. So these are mandated expenses that they undertake. And it follows the normal international financial reporting standards in terms of classification of grants and how you account for them and expense for them in your income statement. And as I said, that came from our agreement with the Auditor General. So we're not fighting the numbers here.
Now, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairman of the Board, I'm going to get this right.
Let me respond to one surrounding the targets. I think it's good guidance, Chair, that mid-year, when we see that we're going to get not to pat ourselves too much on the back, to make sure that our the standard deviation is kept low between targets and actual performance. But otherwise, it also says something about our own targeting and plan. So you're quite correct. We will address it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Members, and also Deputy Minister. I don't know whether you would like to say anything in conclusion of the DJ.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's unusual that I don't speak at all. I don't have to say anything, though if there's nothing to say. But Chair, from our side, we have had regular oversight meetings with the NDA, the Minister and the AG, especially the dashboard meetings. The last quarter of March, which is the year under review, we have seen quite a significant improvement in the green faces or yellow faces compared to red faces in the past. The challenges that are still there, we have had a review report that was submitted by the Board of the Minister. We were quite comfortable at this stage that NDA is working on some of the shortcomings that were prevalent in the previous year. And also the new focus, as they have presented before, we had discussions at MINMEC, Minister met with the MECs, and I think six provinces have already committed something to the tune of about 51 million. Yes. The beauty about it, or the good thing about it for us, is that we're looking at NDA significantly working very closely with the department in terms of the NPO sector and the welfare services that they are providing in terms of strengthening capacity. We will be monitoring that project to make sure that we assist them in ensuring that we achieve the results that are desired. Because it's an area also that the AG has identified the strengthening of the NPO capacity. So thank you, Chair. It's just a few comments on
Thank you very much, DJ, and thank you very much, Deputy Minister and the National Development Agency, as well as the team. We will be reflecting on the report at the later stage. Oh, sorry, Honourable Woman, before I conclude, finally.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just a small comment. It's just for me to say thank you to NDA and to the department. After the visit of the Minister in Eastern Cape, and Sikisiki, the deep rural area, when she saw the condition of the people, there was an intervention by NDA. There we got an official placed in the kingdom of Amabondo, assisting Amabondo in establishing the project. So I just wanted to say it in this context so that you know that at least we appreciate when something is done. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. On that note, thank you very much. We're going to take a 5-minute comfort break before we go over to the approval of the minutes on the board member. But thank you very much, DG, Deputy Minister DGMT. You are excused on the meeting. Thank you. roads we have to run through, and then we also just have to give you the logistical arrangements for tomorrow's portfolio committee meeting, because it's going to be off-site. We're going to the fire and ice for TLTO, not for pleasure, but for work. Tomorrow we've got a portfolio committee day because all venues are fully booked in Parliament, so we had to go off-site. Can we start with the minutes of the 20th of August, 2030? Yolisa, Ms. Bogan, could you just give a set of minutes to Honourable Makuba, please? The committee met on the 20th of August, 2030. And in terms of the agenda, there we have it. And then present was Bota Kumalo, Ufolo, Agagula, and Baba from the ANC, Democratic Alliance, Honorable Waters, and Congress of the People, Honorable Pullman. Then we had three apologies and so on. And parliamentary officials, sorry, and attendance. So, page 2 deals with the deliberations of the committee, and page 3 deals with adoption of the committee report on the annual report of the CDA, as well as the adoption of minutes of the 24th of July 2013, and then also resolutions. Any corrections, honourable members? Honourable Waters?
Page 2, the second last paragraph, I'd like my name mentioned, as it says here, and one member voted for a motion of desirability to process the bill. I'd like it to be noted it was my name. Me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 17th of September, we have Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Kumala, Honorable Makakula, Kaba, Honorable Waters, More, Honorable Tume, Mafolo. There's apologies for Honorable Mafolo, Tume, Honorable Makuba, and Honorable Bula. So we had a huge delegation of the Department of Social Development present. We had a briefing on the white paper, families, and then on the quarterly performance of the department, as well as addressed by the minister. And then we also have the resolutions of the committee. Okay. Is there any issues that sorry, is there any corrections? On the minutes? Any corrections on the minutes? Thank you. All of our members, can I get a proposal on the second of the minutes? Which will be Honorable Kumala, Mahakula, Smatia, Kaba, Waters. Those are the members of here. Honorable Kaba, thank you. Proposal, can we get a seconder? Thank you, Honorable Kumala. I will go to the 8th of October. We had the AG's, briefing by the AG on the audit findings of the annual report on social development, Department of Social Development and its entities, adoption of the draft fourth term committee program, and we also, it's also the adoption of outstanding minutes. Present was the chairperson, Honorable Mafolo, Makakula Gava. Yes, can we go to page 2, we have introduction, consideration of minutes of the previous meetings, presentation by the Auditor General on the audit findings of the annual report, and then that adjournment, which is quite compact. It was quite a short meeting, wasn't it? Can we just get a second? Is there any corrections, Honorable Mampula?
Honorable Chairperson, I move for adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mafolo, Honorable Kava. Seconds, thank you. Can we go over to October the 9th? Was briefing by the Department of Social Development and its entities for the 2012-2013 financial year. Present was Honorable Bota, Honorable Mafolo, Makagura, Gaba, Kumalo, Waters, More, Tome, and Honorable Pula. And then we have a whole host of people from social development. We had consideration of minutes of previous meetings, presentation on the annual report of social development and its entities, challenges reported by the department, resolutions. look at resolutions, I mean, it's more of a statement than a resolution, which is followed by the an explanation why, which doesn't make it a resolution. The committee was concerned. Yeah, what we can say is that after achieved, we say that the department must improve the planning processes. That should be a resolution. You see? Must improve its planning processes. since the second and third paragraph deals with the explanation of the department, and we don't need that in a resolution to the House. Then, a point two committee again raised concerns regarding the 5 dormant funds. There's a department, there is legislation governing these dormant funds. And we said this legislation should be revisited so that social development can actually close these dormant funds. Because you remember, I think it's the Department of Defense that is also covered by the legislation. So we say the legislation governing these dormant funds should be revisited so that there can be closure of these funds. That's resolution number two. The committee was seriously concerned about the brutal killings of elderly women. It requested the department to develop a strong intervention to put an end to these killings. With regard to early childhood centres, the committee reiterated its concern that ECDs are still under-resourced with inadequate infrastructure, especially those allocated in rural areas. It emphasized the need for these centres to be well-resourced. Good resolution. For those amendments, can I get a second and a proposal and a second of the minutes? There's no objection. Honourable Mafolo, Honourable Gaba, Honourable Kumalo, Honourable Tume.
I propose
this,
that the
minister
should be adopted with
amendments. Thank you very much, Honourable Kumalo, sorry. There's just no space for apologies on this. And I don't see Honourable Makuba's name here for apologies. Am I correct? Yeah, and there was an apology here, so.
My secretary is the one who sent the apology late. She was supposed to send it, and she sent it later. And
okay. But it's fine as long as it arrives, so it's documented. Honourable Goldman?
I second that motion, Madam Chair.
Members of the committee present, we had consideration of minutes of the previous meeting. We also looked at the BRRR report, adoption of the fourth term committee program, and so on. Is there any corrections members would like to effect? I think, can we get a proposal and second for the minutes? Honorable Makuba.
Honorable Chairperson, I propose that the minutes be adopted.
Second stage.
A second proposal.
Was the 22nd of October. We have Honorable Puata Kumalo Mfolo Makula Traba present, Honorable Mori, Honorable Waters, and so Miss Waters. It's okay. Honorable Pula, and then apologies, Honorable Kume, Honorable Makuba. Two apologies, and then we had a whole delegation of Sasa. Because we were discussing the annual report of SASA presentation, we had deliberations. Yeah. And resolutions. Honourable members, Honourable Grava.
The Chairperson, I move the adoption of the amendment.
Can we get a second? Honourable Mafolo, thank you very much.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable members, that we've adopted all sets of minutes that we have in front of us. I'm just going to ask, as you are aware that we have a portfolio committee meeting tomorrow, it's on a matter that I believe to you on the 22nd of October, when the speaker actually referred a matter to us around older persons that marched in Parliament and gave a memorandum around issues affecting the well-being of older persons. So, because all venues are booked in Parliament, we have to have an off-site meeting, which will be the Fire and Ice Protea Hotel. But because it's off-site, transport has been provided to transport us to the venue and back. Yeah, I'm going to ask the committee secretary to give us all that detail. But also, as you know, every end of the year we have an exchange of gifts with, over a lunch and so on. So we've remember in that meeting we also decided on that. So we're just going to, we've asked the, we don't have a hat, so we're using a plate, a little saucer for us to take names out. So that we can just select a name with form, we can buy a gift. We said the gift shouldn't be more than 150 rand for each other. The gift shouldn't be more than 150 rand per member, which is members and staff included. So, excuse me, committee secretary, can you start with the the transport arrangements that you will come to that.
Thank you, Chair. The transport has been arranged. The meeting was scheduled for 9:30. It was here in Thomas Grove. Thinking of maybe getting to party at 9 or 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Here at Tortoise.
We will then have a meeting there because we're also meeting the stakeholders that handed over the memorandum. We'll be having the department there also just to reflect on those issues that have been raised. And we need to present a report to the Speaker in Parliament. Not to Parliament, but to the Speaker's office, after our deliberations. So those stakeholders will also be there to explain, you know, to address the committee. Is there anything else? And then we'll be having a lunch after that. Yeah, because it's going to be quite a lengthy meeting.
I think she...
And we will be accepting the gift tomorrow.
I think that the Honourable Commander was concerned regarding the petitions. There were about 2,000 signatures, so we couldn't make and correspondences from various old pensioners. What the Cornet advisor and the researcher did was to analyse and summarise the petitions. There are summaries from both of them as to what the petition entails, instead of copying all the signatures. But the signatures are there. 22 members.
I think the concern is from the reason that we should be able to see the content of the petition so that we are able to interact with these people, unlike that they be starting from the fresh air to us not knowing anything. It is also advisable that we do have received those summarized petitions and if it's possible today, so that when we go tomorrow, we are having the pay. Then.
There is a one-page memorandum that they've handed over to us. Can we just repeat that to members? Because she's referring to, we didn't. Yeah, the memorandum has been referred to honorable members, been circulated with the members. It's like a one-pager, the memo. The memo is a one-pager. The others were just emails supporting the memorandum. So it's basically the same. I'm sure Honorable Gome has it. Yeah. I think it's a cover letter from the speaker. Yes. Yes. So you all have hard copies. Can we go over to the issue? Is honourable members clear with that? You're fine? With the docs? Okay. Can we go over to... yes, I see 150. Honourable Ntlapo. The youth is getting all of hearing. Can we just go over to the formalities quickly? much, honourable members, now that we all have our very confidential pieces of paper. We'll see each other tomorrow. So have a, I don't know, have a good lunch. We'll see each other tomorrow at 9 in front of quarters.
We must bring with a sleep to make sure that we understand that is a